T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
So I take Redline to work. I had never seen a Pedway tour.
People are so busy listening to the music, they don't see what's going on right under their very feet. Below the ground.
I love it, man, because you can get lost in the Pedway.
It was life-changing once I figured it out. It cuts my outside time in half, which either in bad weather or hot weather is really clutch.
So, Campy, you're one of the few people that prefers the Pedway in the summer.
Yes. I do it for all of you, so you don't have to deal with me just completely just drenched by the time I get in. I do, however, have a backup shirt in one of the drawers here.
How you doing?
Breathing like James Gandolfini over here.
If you stay closest to the pool, that's where the air conditioning comes out, so you'll stay cooler if you're over on that side of that hallway that you're walking.
Campy, how hard is your life with sweating, man? You
getting good sweat here. Great sweat. Good beads. Nice beads.
I watch someone else work out and I start to sweat.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for hanging out. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score with Spiegs in for Mac.
Hello.
Hello, Matt Spiegel.
Having a good time, enjoying the day today, enjoying the work of Chris Tannehill, and enjoying the running bit since the first time we played that open of the I'm Fat podcast as legacy from our show.
Yes.
And the Fat Pride Parade that that we were deciding to stage in honor of the I'm Fat podcast and all the texts that have been coming in at 670-11. Helping us to cast the perfect day and event of the Fat Pride
Parade.
Yeah,
well, what would the Fat Pride Parade look like? You know, rainbow ice cream is a possibility.
Rainbow sherbet instead of a rainbow flag.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think the idea of the parade being stationary and people in the crowd just walking past you is a personal favorite of mine.
But walking backwards, so it looks like the parade is passing you
by.
Yeah,
of course. I think it's it works on a number of levels.
The marching band made up of entirely tubas.
Yes.
Nothing but tubas.
Is perfect.
Uh-huh. And the marching band, by the way, is all and rascals. They're all riding rascals.
Naturally. And yes. You don't throw confetti or beads or anything like that, right. But you throw full-size candy bars.
Exactly. This texter says that the city will dye the river to make it look like beef gravy.
It's perfect. It's just
Doesn't it already look like beef gravy?
Yeah, it's like natural polluted state, so maybe they just replace it with gravy.
And then a couple, instead of people handing out Gatorade and water in cups for the paraders as they walk by, it's gravy in the cups. Here's a cup of gravy just to get you going through your parade.
Basically as much gravy as we can work in.
Now, do you think a bunch of little clowns getting out of a car, is that a parade thing? This person went to that imagery.
That's just like a circus or a carnival.
I agree, but I'll grant it just so we can read this. Instead of a bunch of little clowns getting out of a car, it's one fat clown trying to get out of a smart car. Just for that imagery, I went ahead and read that.
I'm trying to get out of the car.
Oh, God. And this, every parade has its protesters, I'm sure. The Fat Pride Parade will have protesters throwing things such as kale, quinoa, and Impossible Burgers at them along the way.
That's great. Texter comes in and says the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is the lead car of the parade. Everyone follow the wiener.
Oh, God. Nice and clean.
Was that easy?
Everyone follow the wiener.
That worked out.
Oh, and I gave it to you.
Please make this personal.
Context doesn't matter.
Isn't that nice?
Screw you, Tanny. This hour on The Score, by the way, brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, and they're proud to sponsor it. Join The Score's Lawrence Holmes Tuesday, August 20th. He's got Nick Castellanos and Derek Holland at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigley for the final luncheon of the 2019 Cubs on Deck series. Tickets on sale now at 670thescore.com/ondeck, presented by TimberTech and Xfinity. And this segment is driven by Prestige Exotics. If you are planning a business trip, a wedding, or looking for the perfect ride for your child to arrive in style for homecoming, visit PrestigeExotics.com to rent your dream car. That's PrestigeExotics.com.
A little bit of Cubs news today, a few different things. Ben Zobrist is going to go to Iowa, actually going to go to Memphis, where the Iowa Cubs are, this Thursday and take part in a weekend series there. So that continues. His road back to the bigs continues. Roster move today. Kyle Ryan is back off the bereavement list. That was a minimum of 3 games, possible maximum of 7. Kyle Ryan is back. Dylan Maples continues on his just endless journey to and from Iowa.
He's with the caravan of kickers. He's on the caravan back and forth.
Exactly. So Kyle Ryan is there, and that's good. That's obviously your second lefty, and that is the most trusted lefty and a late-inning option for Joe Maddon.
And they've got, you know, Kimbrel coming back, Cishek coming back, Kinsler coming back.
At some point.
All at some point. So there are more roster moves coming, but there are also injuries that can be kind of fabricated. Like, I don't know if Steve Cishek's injury is so serious that he really needs to be on the injured list, or if he'd be able to pitch through this if it was September or October. And so it seems to me like this is just what we're at, what, August 13th?
Uh-huh.
So they've got 18 days or 19 days until rosters expand in September.
Yeah.
So you might need to fabricate a make-believe IL stint and exercise some options for a guy or two so that you can have as many guys on this roster as possible.
I think Cishek and Strope are injured list moves that, you know, we're probably, let's just go ahead and give these guys a rest.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I don't think you'd do that with Kimbrel or Kinsler, given the situation, if you had a choice. I mean, Kinsler was going to be the guy, and in fact was going to stay in that game when he felt the tightness in his chest.
Yeah, the oblique thing, and like you saw it in the game.
He was going to stay in, too. He was going to stay in for the ninth and then was not able to.
Kinsler, though, or excuse me, Kimbrel, I don't know. It's a knee. The velocity was a little down. People were talking dead arm. And then that just comes up. Like, whenever that just comes up out of nowhere when you're struggling and it's not an arm injury, I'm like, oh, did you make it up? Did you make it up to give him a break?
See, but I don't think you want to give that guy a break. I think you want
pitch
that
through the dead arm.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, because that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
And because he was asked, I was standing there as he was asked in the clubhouse, it seemed like you were maybe starting to feel it with the timing. He said, I was starting to feel it. So I don't think that's something that they wanted to disrupt in that sense.
How do you think it's going to work when, because Rowan Wick has been amazing. How do you think it'll work when these guys are all here in terms of pitching themselves back into roles or adjusting guys? Because obviously this can change 3 or 4 more times between now and the postseason.
I was surprised to see Strope used in the ninth.
I was too.
I absolutely was, and I wasn't particularly happy about it, frankly. But
it was very Joe. He's done it before.
Yes.
Relying on experience. Like, to me, that was a very Joe Maddon move.
You remember what was said before the injured list when they took him out of the role, and they said when we're going to give him a chance to pitch under circumstances where it you know, he can work on things. So essentially they were just going to use him in low leverage just so he could get his stuff together.
Right.
So maybe they think he got it together. There were very specific things that were the issue with Pedro Strop in terms of mechanics, how it was leading to velocity and command. And Tommy Hotovy knew exactly what they were looking for. They were just taking Pedro's word when he would say, I'm good. No, I got it. I'm good. And I hopefully they've watched him in a bullpen session and figured out that those things are good, and they're just not taking his word again. What's interesting on Wick is that you'd think the ninth inning would be Rowan Wick's purview while these other guys are hurt, but Maddon continues to use him. And the one time they've had a lead in that middle closer, that first guy out of the bullpen situation, brought him into the seventh, got 2 innings out of him, which was phenomenal. And so, but Wick, I think, is going to continue to be that guy. Just stop a rally if it's if they take out Quintana or one of these guys in the middle of the sixth or middle of the seventh. I think you're going to see Wick in that spot right there for maybe as long as he can go.
I marvel at the variance of bullpen pitching every single year, every single team I follow, man, because they acquire Kinsler. He's bad. Then year two with the Cubs, he's great. They got Justin Wilson. He was bad. Then never to really be heard from again. They get Brandon Morrow. He's great, but then he gets hurt. That one you probably could have predicted. Who would have thought that Rowan Wick, Kyle Ryan, and Dwayne Underwood are maybe three of the five guys that you trust the most right now? No one would have guessed that 30 days ago, much less 4 months ago.
Yeah, Derek Holland was a failed starter trying to grasp it in San Fran, and then they put him in the bullpen, and all of a sudden, here he is. And he had to face right-handers the other day, and Madden was saying that was a good thing. I hope he doesn't get used to that idea of doing that too often. But no, it is crazy. But you know what? It's the way it's got to be.
For sure.
The people that you should trust are the ones you see who are getting it done. And trust your eyes. Don't trust the reputations of these guys. Don't trust what they'll tell you because they're warrior types who are going to say that they're good to go.
It's just interesting like how much variance there is with relief pitchers, and then you take that with what Theo has done in terms of resources, both with trade and with money for the closer. And I wonder if that contributes, because we know that Theo and Jed talk to Joe before these games about, you know, if it's a save situation today, who gets the ball for the ninth inning? They believe the ninth inning is different in terms of makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So while you and I might be surprised that went right back to Strope, their franchise history tells you they want an established guy who's done it in the ninth. They did it with Wade Davis. They did it with Chapman. They did it with with kids eventually paying Kimbrel. They did it with Morrow. That's one place where they'll spend big money resources is for an established elite closer who can handle the ninth inning.
Yeah, and they have done it again with Kimbrel.
Yeah.
Knowing full well that money might be bad at the end, but hoping to get a World Series run this year and next year out of him.
So maybe we shouldn't have been surprised about Strope, right? Because if Kimbrel was hurt and Cishek was hurt, Strope was the guy who was most experienced with that ability to do it.
Yeah, I guess not. Depending on who wasn't there, it's just that the way they talked about Strope before the injury, they realized that something was definitely, definitively wrong, and they needed to see it fixed before they would go back to him in that role. But here we are. I continue to envision Tyler Chatwood in a position of consequence, but everybody I talk to around there says Chatwood is around as the long guy, as the multiple inning guy. He got that 3-inning save, one of the last times he was used. If you ever get to extras, you're going to need him to go 4, 5, 6 innings, whatever the hell he's got to do in that role. That it's more likely that you see Dwayne Underwood in a role of consequence late as they go back and forth between righties and lefties. Like you'll see Wick, and then maybe you see Holland for a particular lefty. You see Underwood, you see Ryan, and you see Strope. I'll give you those five guys as your even or ahead guys for tonight's game against the Phillies.
Yeah, the long guy, I mean, Underwood made the great debut, right, with the six strikeouts over multiple innings, but he's the only other candidate to be the long guy now that Montgomery's no longer here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who else could it be other than Chatwood? So I hear what you're saying because his swing and miss stuff is great. It's wild to me that the guys that they might be relying on the most have such little experience given how they've tried to build this bullpen. I assume Cishek and Kinsler will get back in there and have a shot at those jobs, but at this point, I want Rowan Wick getting the biggest outs. Like, we know that that's the second most valuable thing in the bullpen, closer and then middle closer.
Mm-hmm.
Rowan Wick's the guy who should have that job right now.
Yeah.
More than Cishek.
Yeah.
He looked a little overused.
A lot overused.
Right?
So, you know, and Cishek, we'll see how real the hip injury is. But I'm glad he's getting a rest because he was bad. The last 8 games, 6 innings, 11 hits, 4 walks, 7 earned runs, a .379 batting average against Cishek. And he said that the hip had been hurting at least for a few outings. So you've got that. Now, I didn't hear when Dan Bernstein today on the Midday Show was talking about his sourced information regarding Joe Maddon. Did you hear that?
I did not. I heard about it. I talked to him a little bit off the air, and he wrote a column at 670thescore.com. Cubs prefer Maddon not discuss his future. And he's got the quotes from the Tribune, and he includes the denial from Theo Epstein in the piece. So
it was pretty vehement denial from Theo.
Yeah, Theo talked to the reporters and said that Dan's report was baseless, but Dan, standing by his source, that they basically would prefer him not to do it and that they had a handshake agreement that they wouldn't. Theo saying it's baseless, and Joe has to talk multiple times a day, every day. He handles that stuff remarkably well. We had zero problem with it. Joe will be on with Lawrence tomorrow at noon, and Jed Hoyer will be on with me on Thursday at 2 o'clock. I take Theo at his word to a point. We've asked all of them about it, and they are always annoyed that the question comes up. Whether it's with the beat reporters or whether it's with us, they very clearly don't want it to be in the news cycle because they don't want it to be a distraction, and they just don't want to put attention on the fact that, oh, yeah, they don't have a manager for next year, even though Joe Maddon's won all of this stuff. So it doesn't it strikes me as believable that they were annoyed that it might have come back into the news cycle.
Conceivably. But it came back into the news cycle because he was asked about it, and he answered some questions. And I don't know what was first. And Paul Sullivan wrote a thing in the Trib. I think
it was writers only. You know, he meets with the beat writers before he meets with the general press and Salute. And they had the quotes, and Joe's quotes were reasonable. He said it's not going to be about wins and losses. He expects to be here for a couple more years. But it was newsworthy because he hadn't said before that he expected to be here for a couple more years. He had said I'd hoped in the past, but he hadn't said he expected to.
His quote about it's not about wins and losses was fairly – I mean, you could read some snark into that if you wanted to. That like, hey, I'm winning here, so it's not about that. But I thought it was just honest talking about the relationship, because that's what it's about. Can you continue to be partners with each other as you work on this thing? Because they talk multiple times a day. Are you exhausted with each other? Are you still functioning well together? Can you hear each other? Do you trust each other? You know, all that stuff. That's what it's about. And they're being, you know, him being honest about that. I can't see them being upset about that part of it.
I think that they acknowledge publicly and privately one of Joe's greatest strengths being that there's never been a Joe Maddon controversy with all the times he talks in front of a microphone.
It's pretty amazing.
He is face and voice pregame twice.
Yes.
Writers and then general press, postgame, the Ron Coomer interview, pregame show, weekly on our station with four different midday shows over the last 4 years, national obligations.
And Rick Camp in studio.
We're talking hundreds of media appearances a year, 500, 600.
That'll do it.
And he's never had a scandal come out of anything that he said. Never been snarky, anything like that.
Who's better at that?
No one.
Than Joe?
No one. And he drives fodder and clicks, and I mean, Cubs fans wear his t-shirts and his jersey and all of that. So I think they look at that as a huge skill of his. But if I had to bet today, I still bet that they have a new manager next year.
Oh, I certainly do. I told you that. When did I tell you that? 2 years ago?
Long time. Yeah. So nothing's changed with that for you?
Nothing's changed with that for me.
Same with me. Yeah. Same with me. Yeah.
It will be a terrific run, and we'll see how far this year's version of it goes.
This was fun. You want to do it again tomorrow?
I'm in.
Let's do it again tomorrow.
I am in. Thanks, guys, for welcoming me back. And, you know, I'm going to get emotional now. Nah!
Nah, don't do that.
Screw it.
That would be awkward. Thank you to Dawn the Produce Lady and Hub Arkish. Yeah, you heard that, right? Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer. Chris Tannehill. He hates being here, but he gets paid. We appreciate you, Tanny. Great work, as always. Matt Spiegel in for Mac. I am Danny Parkins. This is McNeil and Parkins. Cubs baseball coming up next on The Score.
Just on fire. We had the time of our life. We played just beautiful music all afternoon. We've been going. We've been jamming all day. Today, my dreams came true.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.